God's design for marriage is found in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Welcome to By Design from American Family Radio.
Welcome back to By Design here on American Family Radio. I am Abraham Hamilton III, joined by my lovely bride,
Maria. Hey, guys.
And we have, again, commandeered By Design to turn it into the Hamilton's Corner. And this is part two of our conversation about leaving and cleaving. There is an important necessity that we understand what it means to leave and cleave, what it means to be joined to our wives. And we talked last time about forging a new familial unit. And as we do that, it is imperative that the husband and wife, that we protect our unions from all threats, both foreign and domestic. So that would be those who are outsiders, outside of our immediate family, but that also includes the threats that could come from immediate family members who are a part of the band that we formerly were members of, right. But that when we become one in the marital union, we become a brand new band. So we become Maria and me, Abe and Maria. This is a new familial unit. This is a new band that God has joined together. And so we must protect the integrity, the fiber, the future of our band. And so we talked a little bit on in the wife side, you know, not exposing the marital unit to critique and criticism from the outside, but that we seek to protect the integrity of that unit. And also there's an important necessity that we are proactive in seeking to protect our family against potential difficulty. Did you want to say something on that? Okay. So I've mentioned this before briefly, but I'm going to talk a little bit more detail about this because I had a real-time experience within my family, you know, and our family, we have, you know, three sisters. I have three sisters, two brothers, a large family, and my family could be described, what I mean by that, my family prior to Marie and I getting married, we could be easily described as an enmeshed family. We did everything together. Every holiday, we were always together. Every event, you know, and if you don't know much about New Orleans, New Orleans has a party. New Orleans is a party waiting for an opportunity. You don't need to have an occasion. I mean, you have a festival because today is Tuesday. It's going to have a party, you know. And we got together often as family. And so, you know, I didn't have the understanding that I have now. But as I was praying in preparation for my marriage to Maria going into our wedding day, I remember the Lord moved me one day to sit down with my relatives from my biological family unit, my father, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters. We did this before the rehearsal dinner. Maria was not present. and the Lord moved me to sit down with them and to walk through Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, with my family, and to explain to them exactly what we're talking about now, the reality of the need for leaving and cleaving. And so after walking through the scripture, speaking through this, I looked my parents in the eye first, and I said, "Guys, I need y'all to understand that God is creating a new band, a new family unit. We will be Hamiltons, but we are no longer your Hamiltons. It's not because I don't love you anymore. It's not because, I have anything negative or bad about my family, but my being raised in your home. But this is, God is creating a new band of Hamiltons." And so from this day forward, I never forget, I said from December 19th, that was our wedding day, from December 19th on, my primary consideration in everything, every idea, every opportunity, every experience, every circumstance, my primary consideration will be Maria. It no longer can be you, Mama. It no longer can be you, Daddy. Then I turn to my brothers and sisters. It's not going to be you. It's not going to be you. It's Maria. So when, and I said this, when something happens, y'all, a holiday happens and y'all want us to come over, right? And I tell you we're not coming. I don't want you to think Maria has said or done something to keep me from coming. I have decided, as the head of our new family, that it is not best for us to come to whatever you're inviting us to. Do you? And I remember looking him in the eye and said, y'all understand what I'm saying? She hasn't done anything to me. Because before, any holiday, we were always getting together. Always getting together. You know, before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that happened, we were always getting together. I said, guys, the time will come when I will not be able to come to what y'all want to do. And I didn't know then. But after the fact, I realized that that helped tremendously. Because it took any fleshly temptation to blame you, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
For what they perceive as a lack of aid participating in our, and you wish you could see me, I'm putting my air quotes, our family get-togethers,
yeah.
It removed that temptation. Now, guys, often in families, and y'all know, you keep it real with me. Y'all know if you had a family, people get together all the time on a regular basis, and now the only thing that's changed is now our family member is married to that girl. You know she becomes that girl.
And
married to that girl. And what'd you say?
And you acting brand new.
And you acting brand new. Now, you never missed our family get-togethers. Now all of a sudden you're married. You can't come in no more?
Mm-hmm.
What's the inevitable fleshly conclusion? It must be because of that girl. That's the inevitable conclusion,
Yeah. Naturally
speaking. But it is a conclusion that is bereft of understanding the leaving and cleaving. And so I thank God for leading me in that way for our family because by God's grace— my family members have never had any beef with you whatsoever because they know.
I'm so grateful, yeah.
They know that our familial unit is the first priority, not only for us, but for me. And so they respected the reality that there's a new familial unit. Now, when that does not happen, when that leaving and cleaving does not happen with the, I'll say it this way, with the family of origin, it creates the context and the opportunity for the new spouse, in my wife, to become a source of tension with my family of origin because they think it must be that girl who's causing the problems when that is not the case whatsoever. So I'm explaining all of that for the express purpose of communicating that leaving and cleaving requires both spouses, really, to proactively protect the integrity of their union and to foreclose the potential that your family of origin could have beef with your spouse. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's important, like you said, that both husband and wife understand the significance,
mm-hmm.
what they are entering into when they do get married, what the goal is, and then how to proactively, like you said, implement that, right? Implementing the reality that we are to maintain the strength and the unit and the going forward, right? The strength of our marriage going forward. Because I think that is something like with us that it happened. I never even thought that you were going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I never thought, oh, he's going to go sit with his family and let him know. No, never did it cross my mind. I knew, of course, I knew your family and I knew that they respected you and they saw who you were becoming, you know, as a man. And I also know that there were some decisions made prior that were detrimental, you know, in different ways or whatever, that affected different people in the family. So I think it was very beneficial, and I'm grateful that they understood it and respected it and embraced it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that I never had to, like, you know, say anything or come against anyone to, because it would be very unfortunate if I would have to shore up my end with my family and then with yours too. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to, like, make sure that this stays together when on my own is impossible. And so I think what you did was very important, and I appreciate what their receptivity to it. But I also was thinking about how understanding the your role as a husband, right, mm-hmm. and understanding that you are the covering, understanding that you take the lead in executing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are times when from the wife's perspective, from my perspective, where you're leading in a particular direction, and because of where I come from or because of my old covering or whatever, I expect it to be a certain way,
right?
But it doesn't go that way. And so what I can easily do is run to my safety net and say, see, but he ain't doing it this way. And why is he not? You know, it was supposed to be this way and it's not this way.
No, you say your safety net. What are you talking
about? The prior covering.
Family of origin.
That's right. See the words, y'all? the family of origin. And it's easy to run there, to run to your comfort zone. And at the same time, you're damaging the one that you're in, you know, the unit that you're in.
Yeah. I think it's important that what you just mentioned, because the reality is true. When you come from a family of origin, you're used to doing things or seeing things done in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So now if you're joined into you're forging a new family band, a new familial unit. And as you said, you submitted yourself to my leadership, my headship for our family, and I'm doing things differently than you're used to.
That's right.
The temptation could arise that, well, I want to, you know, go and yap, you know, about the way in my family of origin, about what I'm used to seeing, how I'm used to seeing it done. But that would undermine the reality of the familial band that we are attempting to forge. And you mentioned knowing your roles. It's interesting, and you know, because you know me, that I could spend another hour and a half talking about what is manhood biblically.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have time to do that, but I will mention this. It's important to note in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and I always like to return to the book of the beginning to look at what God created man to be before the rebellion ever occurred, because you get a picture of what God created man to be absent of sin entering the world. And you notice before God had ever blessed Adam with his wife, Eve, the Lord makes this observation in verse 15 of chapter 2. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And there you see God making Adam a cultivator and a protector. The King James says to dress it and to keep it. You have the two functions of being a covering, because God made Adam, you know, his under sovereign over all things he'd entrusted into his care and authority in the garden, including ultimately his wife. But he entrusted it to Adam's care to keep it, which means to protect it against all threats, foreign and domestic.
Yeah.
But also to dress it, to cultivate it. A part of our role as being heads of families and the heads of our wives, as the Bible explains, is being simultaneously protector and cultivator. And there's a difference between being a gardener and a grass cutter.
Yeah.
A gardener takes time, spends time learning the difference between begonias and roses and calla lilies and daffodils. A grass cutter, anything that's growing is mowing. You know what I mean? You just mow it down. But there's the twain function of cultivation and keeping and protection. And so we have to be able to ordained to simultaneously protect the integrity of our union against threats, foreign and domestic, while simultaneously cultivating that union.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is imperative, and I say this to you often, that we not only say to our wives that we love them, because the command from Scripture is that husbands, Ephesians 5, are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So what does that look like practically? It is imperative that I not only tell you I love you and that I lay my life down for you, but that I take opportunities and look for opportunities to demonstrate that I love you and lay my life down for you on a regular basis. What that looks like is that when situations arise, if there's any concern amongst my family of origin about anything going on with this family unit, I don't send you out to deal with it. I deal with it.
Right, right, right.
If there's anything that arises, I wonder why Abe is not coming home for Thanksgiving this year. It must be Maria. If I hear any murmurings of that, I don't let that just pass by. I step in and say, no. Two semas, one donna. Hold it. Now, Maria, nothing's going on. We have things that we're doing, and I've made the decision that it's best for our family to do this other thing. This has nothing to do with her. And in fact, and this is true, and you like to spend more time than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important that I don't serve you up Orlando Maria, now you go deal with that. No, I initiate.
Or even comments that are that may seem innocent, like, you know, I don't know, hypothetically, your sister comes and says, hey, you know, why are you not coming for Thanksgiving? And you're like, go ask Maria. She's the one, you know, that has all X, Y, and Z to do. We can't make it.
Now, let me ask you, if that were to happen, what would that communicate to you?
Yeah.
How would that affect you?
Right. What that would say to me is that first, I'm all alone, that I'm the one having to make sure that I explain our familial decisions, right? Because let's say, for example, you know, they invite us for Thanksgiving, but I have planned something at our house, you know, and my idea for Thanksgiving this year was that, you know, we were going to cook at home for our kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we were just going to do an intimate thing. And it was my idea, yes, right? But then they ask you and you say, oh, yeah, you know, as Maria, she had came up with whatever, whatever. And so what happens with me on my end is that I just feel like, oh, but when I ran it by you and you agreed with it, you throw it back in my court like it's just on me, you know, and then I have to like defend myself, explain not only to you again for you to embrace the idea that we decided on that. Yes, I initiated it, but you'd agree to it. But also I have to go and tell foreigners, you know, that this is what we decided we were going to do. And so it's on me. I feel exposed. Mm-hmm. I feel alone. And what happens to women when men do that is that the next decision, we're taking control because we don't want to give over control and then it be thrown in our face. And then now we are like defensive, like, no, next time, never mind. I already know you're going to expose me. So I'm coming. I'm already in the I'm aggressive now and not necessarily like fighting, but I'm talking about like
in the
affirmative. Like I'm making the steps to make sure next year I'm calling them and I'm saying, hey, we're not going because this and this and this so that I don't feel vulnerable again to them before them, you know?
So in that one example,
you
have a situation where now your lack of, I'll say it, keeping while dressing, cultivating while guarding, puts the wife in a position to where she feels abandoned, uncovered, unprotected, exposed to hostile incoming, then simultaneously at the exact same time undermined my role as an authority in our family, all in one fell swoop.
Innocently too, right? Because a lot of times it's not even intended, but it's so damaging. So damaging.
Which brings up the point you said in the previous episode. We have, guys, listen, there's a difference between a man and a physically developed boy.
Yeah.
It's just a difference. And we have the reality that we have lots of males who have not been introduced to biblical manhood. So these kinds of conversations are foreign to them.
Yeah.
Because they're in a situation, they love their family of origin. They passively agreed with the wife's plans for Thanksgiving, but they're not necessarily fully invested, but not willing to step up and have a further conversation with his wife to come to a place where he could be fully invested. So now those things all boil over to when the sister calls and says, hey, y'all coming for Thanksgiving? The husband says, oh, man, talk to Maria. She came up with some idea. You know, I wanted to come, but, you know, she got some other plan. Not realizing the impact, the negative, the deleterious, that's another big word, the deleterious impact that that has on your forging a family bond and the oneness development with your spouse.
Y'all, real quick, side note. So this man comes up with words. We've been married 12 years. He still comes up with new words. I don't understand. He does not sit around reading a dictionary, but he still comes up with new words. I don't get it.
Hey, deleterious.
It is a
delete
gift
is the root
from
word.
The Lord. Praise the Lord for that,
no,
sir.
Man.
I don't have that. But but it's true, though, right? Like, you are really undercutting yourself. You're undermining. Yeah. You're literally eroding your own unit at the same time and not thinking you're doing that. One thing that I think about also is we've had scenarios where we've helped, you know, other people deal with these types of things where the husband is coming also from another, you know, family of origin and they've done things a certain way. And maybe in that familial unit, the mother was a lot more of the leader. And so then the boy, the son, grows up to become a man and does not really fully know how to leave and cleave, right? And so then the wife is left trying to figure out how to help him be that, what I picture is like a shield, right? Be that shield to the new family. And so there are circumstances where you have the husband running to mommy and daddy to make decisions for his
running
unit. Running to his mommy and daddy to make decisions for his unit that he should be able to make, you know? And that's very detrimental as well because as the wife, I know from my perspective, and I know mine is not every wife's perspective, but I'm just thinking, if I have a husband who can't make decisions for our family, and I expect him to because that's your role, and yes, I expect him to not as a dictator, but you know, converse it with me and including me in the decisions. But you can't make a decision, and the only way you know how to make a decision is if you go to mom and dad to see what is best for you. It tells me is that I can't trust you to lead our house. And then it gives me, because that's what happens, and that's what's happening with feminism, right? We want to be equal, so we want to take the lead, and we want to take the role of leader. Then we go and say, hey, mom and dad, in-laws, you know, clearly he's not stepping his game up, right? So I have to go and talk to y'all about, hey, how about you just don't encourage him in giving him more advice, but we're trying to work this out together. And so she takes the lead in that, and what you're doing is emasculating your husband at the same time. So it just all works against the goal of the family. It's really detrimental.
And it reveals the importance of God's design for the family, because his design is, as the scripture says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined into his wife. There's a couple things that are presumed there, is that at the time that he's leaving his father and mother, that he's sufficient to be joined to his wife,
yeah,
to where he won't require the leading of his father and mother any longer in
yeah.
an effort to lead his family. Now, it doesn't mean that he doesn't avail himself of wisdom from time to time. You're
right.
Talking about a routine, habitual pattern of living,
yeah,
to where, you know, rudimentary decisions are consistently needed. The input of the former family of origins parents are needed in order to give any guidance and instruction subsequently.
I think it's important. And you know, it's interesting because it's not like we got it all figured out, nor did we come into our marriage knowing everything, how mm-hmm. to, and even
we're
like from
learning.
Your perspective, knowing how to be a husband and everything. We this is just for listeners who may not know us. We come from families that loved us
mm-hmm.
and that did the best that they could with what they had.
Mm-hmm.
We also are came into our unit seeking God.
Yeah.
Like, I remember praying, and I still pray this, but I remember praying early on. I know you did too. We were like, Lord, teach me how to be a wife. Teach mm-hmm. me how to be a husband. Like, we know some things to avoid. We know some things to do based on what we've seen. But I know that there is more in these scriptures that I need to know, that I need to embrace and apply to be the wife that you need, and mm-hmm. vice versa, right? And so God has taught us, man, I praise God for him. And he's taught us through circumstances. He's taught us through his word. But it's not like we are saying you have got to know how it works by experience
mm-hmm.
to be able to live it out. Like, the word of God is sufficient.
Amen. That
God himself desires godly seed, and so he will equip those who he calls, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if he calls us to be married and to start a new family and to start a new lineage and leave and cleave, right, he equips.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for us, man, we have had so many instances where based on our past experiences, we knew not what not to do. And we also knew a little bit of what to do. But man, there's been so much more that we needed to ensure our familial unit going forward that we didn't get by experience.
Mm-hmm.
We got through revelation from God directly, whether it's his word or directly, you know, through him. But can you think of any circumstance when that happened? I know that we've had moments where I expected you to be a certain way based on what I saw before, but I knew that that's not where your giftings were nor your strengths. And so we just prayed, like, Lord, show me. It would have been easier and in the flesh to go to my dad and say, for example, hey, this happened. Like, just this is what it is, right? So my husband is a great wordsmith. He is great with words, and he's very intelligent. Handiwork is not his thing, right, babe? It's just not your thing. My dad.
Have you told the story before?
My dad is.
Go ahead.
My dad is a tools and nuts and bolts and hammers type of guy, right? And I grew up in that. Now, listen.
Yeah.
That's what I thought manhood was, okay? And a lot of people think that. You know, you got to be able to hammer a nail into the wall. Well, it's my...
You want to have
about
5 more minutes left, right?
I'm going to sum it up.
2.5 minutes.
My, oh, Lord. Okay. So my understanding was flawed, right? But then I come into submitting to your leadership and something breaks at home and I run or not want to run. But, you know, in my flesh, I could say, hey, daddy, how do I fix this? Completely undermining you instead of saying, hey, babe, this broke. Let's see how we'll fix it. And what do you do, which you've done in several situations and it has strengthened our marriage, is that you pray. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, I don't have expertise in this area, but you do. And so you show me what to do. Mm-hmm. And you've done it. And it has strengthened us because I see that even though you may not have a strength that I feel like needs to be there or whatever based on my past, I know that the strength that you do have is that your submission to the Lord. And the strength that you have is that you go to the Lord to show you what to do. And that is the best advice you could ever get.
Mm-hmm.
It is best to get advice from the Lord than from a foreign invader, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
A domestic threat.
A threat that is unintended to be a threat, right?
Right.
But
you just want to get the thing fixed.
Yeah, it can become a threat, and that's where the rubber meets the road. I think it's important that men understand that they have to be men of God's presence. Mm. That they understand that they have to seek God to show them how to be that covering and how to lead their families.
Mm. Guys, I'll tell you now. There's a lot more to that story. Mark, I'm going to ask you to remind me. Because we need to tell you guys the story of the Thanksgiving Day rainfall deluge. We probably talked about that. I don't. Yeah. We talked about that. Yeah. So there's, I told you personally, or I said it on the, okay. All right. Yeah. So some of you might have heard, maybe aware of that story, but it is true. And in the example that she meant is true. I'm not a handyman, you know. But not being a handyman doesn't remove the fact that God has placed me as the head of our family.
Amen. That's right.
And the Lord has also blessed us with a home. So if something breaks in the home, it still needs to be fixed. Now, just because I go about it in a different way than from the way that you had been used to doesn't change the fact that I'm still in the position that God has placed me in.
And it's incredibly important that as the wife, I respect that. And that I submit to that and I encourage that, right? Mm-hmm. Because I would be working against myself if I say, yeah, but you didn't do it this way, or yeah, that's not good enough. Mm-hmm. What you're doing is you're damaging your own relationship when you do that. So, you know.
And as we're talking, and I know we only have a few moments left, I'm thinking about just as the scripture says concerning our salvation, if any man or any woman be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Some of you are listening to me saying, man, I wish I'd have known this before I got married. I wish I'd have known this years ago. Here's the beautiful thing about the Lord, that his grace is sufficient. Not having this understanding in the past doesn't prohibit you or me or anyone from embracing the understanding now and taking steps to implement it. So if you're hearing us talk about this and you're thinking, man, I did expose my unit to threats, foreign and domestic, here's the thing. Just like personal repentance, you can turn it around in those circumstances. And it's as simple as going to those outside sources, whether it be family members or friends, and say, listen, when I said this about my wife, that was wrong, and I apologize. Please forgive me for doing that. And then going to your wife and telling her, when I said that I was wrong, and I apologize, please forgive me. Going forward, I'm going to endeavor to avoid repeating that error, and I am committed to building our primary familial band. Just as we repent before the Lord individually concerning sin matters, we can also express that repentance within the context of our marriage relationship. This is by design.